need prayer and the word. Do our best. Do our best with medicine and science. Go for it. If you're training for doctor or scientist, go for it. But remember, man is finite. We need the Almighty, His wisdom and His help. And to the church, God has given the authority to pray over sicknesses and diseases. And the church has lost that. So I can see other areas that the Lord has given to the church. Redemption from the curse of the law. All these many areas that the church will reach into its fullness in God. That's the blessing that we're going to see. All these have to do with the restoration of the sure mercies of God. And as we look at the second epistle of John, we realize that now he's writing to the elect lady. That elect lady represents us. And he's wanting all the children to walk in the way. All the children of the elect lady and the elect lady herself, which is us, to walk in God's commandment, to fulfill God's commandment and taste of that blessing he pronounced. Grace, mercy and peace. Not only grace and peace, but the sure mercies of David for the church, that the church will be perfected. In the second half of the epistle of John, he talks about wrong doctrines and how to confront them. It says here in verse 7, for many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose these things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both a Father and a Son. If anyone comes to you that does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Historically, John was speaking about the Gnostics. In his time, there was a prevalent cult that began to develop in the church. You see, in the early church, everybody knows that Jesus was a historical figure. The Roman Empire had just sentenced him to death. Pontius Pilate was a real figure in history. And so it was easy for them to see that he was his historical figure. And through time, because of the fantastic power and manifestations that was manifested when he was alive and after he was risen from the dead and through his disciples, there was a teaching that arose that said that Jesus was not really a man. He was just a spirit. That's the form of Gnosticism that arose in John's time. And so they say that he was just a spirit, and that's why all those powers didn't really affect him. He was a spirit. And when we understand what he was facing, he emphasized in 2 John that anyone who does not confess that Jesus Christ in verse 7 is come in the flesh, or is come in the flesh, is not of him. In other words, who denies the humanity of Jesus. He said that same statement in the book of 1 John. He says, we test the spirits, whether they accept that Jesus came in the flesh, that he was an actual flesh and blood manifestation of God Almighty. Fully God, but fully man. And so there was a group that kept teaching that he's not really man. He is different. He was a spiritual body with a spirit man that came. Not subject to all the things of man. And they make him as if he's not a man. He doesn't have the temptations of a man. He was just super living among us. And John combated that doctrine. Because on one extreme, they just say that he's some sort of spirit man, but not a flesh man. Do you notice today, we are on the opposite side of history, and the world keeps trying to make Jesus a mere man, and not accepting that He is God. We are on the opposite end of history. In all the secular place of Jesus, they try to humanize Him. They try to make Him so human that He's no more God. He was just a human being. But long ago, they made Him a spirit man and denied His flesh. Both extremes are wrong. And that is what we call the mystery of the Godhead, where we have to accept that Jesus was the fullness of God, and yet He was the fullness of man. He was Son of God, and He was Son of man. And that was the battle in those days, and our battle today. We try to avoid the extremes that secular society try to press in, and stick to the Bible and say Jesus is 100% man, and yet He was 100% divine. Called the mystery of the Godhead. And that is why only those three episodes beside John mention things like that, because they wrestle around that same problem. Look at 1 Timothy. Only those episodes that have greeting grace, mercy and peace touch on these areas in a more specific way. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Notice it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And look over at the book of Titus. Verse 11. Chapter 2 verse 11. Verse 11. Tells us here, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, of our God, great God, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is God and He is man. Verse 10 also says, the doctrine of God, our Savior. Notice John, second epistle of John was dealing with the doctrine of Christ. Now look at 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy we see here in chapter 1 first of all, verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Then look at chapter 2 verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Now you understand why he has to suddenly mention seed of David instead of seed of Abraham. While in Galatians he emphasized seed of Abraham, because he was talking about faith in him. But when he talks about his kingdom, it's always seed of David. His eternal kingdom. Was raised from the dead according to my gospel. It's something about these three epistles that point to similar things that 2 John wrestled with. Now, why is it that we have to consider Jesus as both fully God and fully man? Because if we see him only to be fully God and not man, we will still be helpless and we cannot reach him. We can only admire, but we cannot emulate. We can only adore, but we cannot follow, because he's Superman, we are not. See the problem? If we have the wrong image of Jesus, it's going to destroy us. Which is why 2 John is written. Have the right. Jesus is come in the flesh and he's come in the spirit. The fullness of God. Now, if we see him only as a mere man, then we cannot reach God. We also have a problem there. He's so much like us, he cannot help us. On that side, he's so much unlike us that we cannot be like him. We have a problem. The key is to understand what Colossians says, and look at what Colossians says about the fullness of God in Jesus Christ. To see him as both fully God and fully man. It's called a mystery. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all over all creation. We have to believe, like 1 John said, he was the Word, the image, the impression of the very God, the substance of God to us. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Then it says, and you are complete in him. We could see that he is fully God and fully man. Then we can see that we are like him here, and we can be like him there. He's our contact with God, and he makes us like him. And 1 John speaks about this. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. I want you to notice the same image. Beholding the Lord, we are transformed into the same image. What we see is what we get. If we see that Jesus is not in the flesh, we can never be like Him. If we see that Jesus is only flesh and not the fullness of God,